Just want to start with this. I suppose over many years I've been a minister, whether it's in a Sunday morning service or message church, from time to time, people have the joy of having children. And it's always fascinating to discover if the parents are Christians. Sometimes they actually choose biblical names for the children. Our youngest child is called Hannah, and I must confess, I didn't choose it because it was a biblical name. We just liked the name. But a lot of people choose biblical names for the children, hoping one day to actually see that child come to that living faith in Jesus. If you read Hebrews 11, and it actually talks about two women of great faith. And I've come across many people actually choosing the name Sarah, but I haven't come across many people choosing the name Rahab. I wonder why. And we've been looking at Rahab, the prostitute, but she was a woman of great faith. And it's so much that we can actually learn from her. But if we read straight from the end of chapter 1 and moved on to chapter 3, and we miss chapter 2, we would lose nothing in regards to the conquest or claiming the promised land. But what I would like to suggest that chapter 2 is a very significant chapter. It speaks about someone that comes to that living faith, and it speaks about key themes which we discover as the Bible's unfolding story of salvation. And firstly, from the passage I want to pick up, a courageous faith despite the situation. A courageous faith despite the situation. And if you're actually following in the Bible, verse 1, just want to pick up part of verse 1. And talking about the spies. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. It's true to say that the word prostitute in the Hebrew could actually be translated innkeeper. But as we go into the New Testament, especially to the Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2, they definitely call Rahab a prostitute. And to me, what that actually speaks about more than anything else, and which it can challenge us as God's people and God's to be involved in God's mission. No one is beyond God's reach, and we must never lose sight what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. And they said, so they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. But I also want you to notice where she actually lived. And we see this in verse 15. The house was part of the city wall. You know, bear in mind that she welcomed in these two spies. And the fact was, her house was part of the city wall. That would mean if an attack came, she would be first to face that attack. But the tremendous fact was, she welcomed them. And we see here that she is a person that was a risk taker in many ways. Bear in mind, Jericho was only 5 miles from where the Israelites were actually camped. And we are actually talking about 2 million people. And the threat that Israel might actually invade Jericho. So here we have two men sent out to view the city. And I want you to notice, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where they were going to stay. Yet God, in his provision, had gone before them and met them with this woman, Rahab. God was starting to work in this woman's life. No one is beyond God's reach. Our God is the God that comes to rescue and to set us free. Our God is who comes to accept us as we are. Sometimes in our own lives, we have messed up. We could have responded better. But the fact was, these two spies was led to a person that God had been touching at this time. See, the fact is, God knows what he's doing. He knows the circumstances that we are going through. And he touched this woman's life. God led them to Rahab and she received them. Just want to pick up verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So you see what actually happened. The king was actually informed that Rahab really had two spies. But she was a woman of courage and conviction and bravery. She was actually a risk taker. And she hid the spies. She welcomed the spies. She was a courageous woman. Just let me illustrate it. Maybe a well-known sermon illustration that you've come across before. A police sergeant with a class of cadets asks, imagine you are on duty when two cars smash into each other. You're just about to go to their aid when you notice an articulated lorry heading down the hill towards a blind corner where the accident occurred. You hear a scream and you see that the shock of the crash has sent a pregnant woman on the pavement into premature labour. Meanwhile, a fireball from one of the car's petrol tanks is heading towards a crowded pub full of underage drinkers. What do you do? An intelligent young cadet spoke up, slip off my uniform and merge with the crowd, Sarge. Sometimes, when we are confronted with different situations in our lives, we want to merge in with the crowd. We don't want to face the difficulty or the problem. But God calls us to be bold and to be courageous and to trust our living God. And what was Rahab's reaction? What does she do when the king's men come? Verse 6. But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax and laid out on the roof. She hides her. And what else does she do? And we see this in verses 4 and 5. She lies to the king's men and uses deception. Was Rahab justified in lying to save the spies? Although the Bible does not speak negatively about her lie, it is clear that lying is a sin. But Hebrews 11 and verse 31 actually says, Rahab commended for her faith in God. By faith, the prostitute Rahab became, she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. So here it's saying, by faith, she received the two spies. And James in his letter, in chapter 2 and verse 25, in the earlier part of his letter, he talks about Abraham being justified. Then he mentions Rahab, that she was considered righteous for what she did. She received the messages and sent them away. So the New Testament focuses not on her life, but by that act of faith, protecting the spies. Secondly, I want to pick up the confession that she acknowledges God's power. The confession. She acknowledges God's power. And we see this in verses 8 to 11. And the first thing Rahab said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and great fear has fallen on us. And I want you to notice the first phrase. She says, I know. We don't know the history of her statement, but in the light of God was shining upon this woman, and she had come to realize about the nation Israel and about their God. And verse 10 tells us that it spoke to her that the God of Israel was the God of all miracles, the God of all power, the God who performed miracle upon miracle, that he dried the Red Sea so that Israel could cross over the dry ground, that he destroyed two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan. And Rahab goes on to express the outcome of this knowledge and says, we have heard about this and we have been afraid about these things. The crazy thing was, for 40 years, the Israelites wander around the wilderness in the deserts because of the fear they wouldn't go into the land. Because if you remember, we mentioned about Numbers chapter 13, if my memory serves me right, when Caleb and Joshua and the 10 other spies went to spy the land. And 10 other spies came back and said, it's giants in the land and we just feel like grasshoppers. But the people, these Canaanites, were afraid of the Israelites. And this wonderful statement, for the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven and above the earth. So we can see what she is stating, that the living God, the God of Israel, is the God of all miracles. And this is the God that we serve. And whatever you are facing this morning, whatever challenges, we serve a God that can bring hope and light into darkness, a God that can change and transform any situation. It's quite a confession from a woman who, as far as we know, had no previous contact with the God of Israel. Clearly something is going on in her heart. She believes in God's power, God's sovereignty, God's authority. And what is significant for us is this woman looks back to the saving event of the Exodus, a sign of God's power. And this is the basis of her faith, pleading for God's mercy. And this is her hope and her certainty. And she sees in the Exodus that the Lord God is the powerful God, and we melt in fear before him. Now, this is significant for us as new believers, New Testament believers, because what the Exodus is to the Old Testament, which speaks about deliverance, the cross for us as New Testament believers speaks about our deliverance. And it's on the cross that God's power was revealed, through the cross of Christ, that our Lord Jesus died in our place so that we might be forgiven, that we might have life itself. We rejoice in the fact that we serve a Saviour that saves to the utmost, but we also serve a risen Lord who has all power and all authority and all majesty. Rahab recognized God's power and how God rescued the people of Israel. She stood in awe of the living God. And we come to this amazing God who can meet us today, who can pour his love and his grace and his peace into our lives. Amazing God who walks with us and supports us and empowers us. Thirdly, I want to pick up, obey God's demand. Obey God's demand. Rahab's faith prompted her not merely to hide these two spies, because having flung herself on the mercy of God, she put her faith into action. And she requests here in verses 12 and 13 that her family be spared when Israel conquers Jericho. So here in verse 14, I want to pick up verse 14. The spies said to her, "Our lives for your lives." And the men assured her, "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." And they come to this agreement with Rahab, and for the safety and the security of this woman and her family, and they must stay in the house, and she is to bind a scarlet cord outside the window. The fact she hung the rope from the window proved that she had faith in the trust in the God of Israel. Just as the blood of the saint, the lamb that was slain on the doorposts of the Israelites in Egypt, proved that the Israelites were safe. So the scarlet cord speaks to us all that Jesus has done for us through dying on that cross to rescue and to redeem us. That each one of us is precious in God's sight. Maybe this morning you are struggling with something. Jesus can meet you at your point of need. Jesus can touch your life. As we come to our Saviour, the rescuer, the deliverer, the one who liberates, the one who sets free, the one who values us as sons and daughters, we need to come again to his cross. Someone once said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. And as we come to the Lord, see, true faith in Christ changes our lives. If we truly believe in Jesus, we cannot go on the way we were living before. And Rahab believed and was spared, and her life was changed. She was a person that obeyed God's demand. Fourthly and finally, trust God's plans. Trust God's plans. Verse 21. Let it be as you say. She sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. All Rahab had to do was to put the scarlet cord outside the window. So straight away, she did this. There was no delay. She trusted the God of Israel and followed the instructions of the spies. Just let me illustrate it. Bill was sitting in his house when a torrential downpour, and as the floodwaters reached the bottom of the front door, some friends came along in the rowing boat and called to him and invited him to climb in. But Bill responded, "No, I'm trusting the Lord. I will be okay. God will come to my rescue. I'm staying here." The rain kept coming and the floodwaters kept rising. Along came a helicopter. The pilot dropped a rope ladder and called to Bill to climb aboard. But Bill said, "No, I'm trusting the Lord, and I'm sure that God would be able to rescue me." The waters kept rising and rising, and unfortunately, old Bill drowned. Arriving in heaven, Bill was a little bit upset and said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand. I'm trusting you, and I still end up drowning." And the Lord replied back, "Well, Bill, I don't understand either. First I sent a boat, then I sent a helicopter, and you didn't take either." Rahab had no hesitation. You can see all through the passage, she had that living faith in God and acted on it continually. Trusting in God is something that not only said, but we need to put it into practice on a daily basis. Rahab's faith led to action. I think it's interesting to note that Rahab is one of two women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. Bear in mind that the genealogy in Matthew's gospel really takes the Joseph's side, where Luke's gospel it's Mary's side. So Rahab, a prostitute, is listed as an ancestor of Jesus. And she's twice praised in the New Testament as a person of faith, a person that would trust the Lord. Although she didn't initially belong to God's people, she was a Canaanite, and Canaanites would sacrifice children as an offering. But God did an amazing thing in her life, and she became a person of faith, a child of God. And this morning, as we come, wherever we are, our God wants to reach us. Our God wants to touch our lives. And there might be situations that you are facing that you feel is out of your control. Perhaps our families, perhaps our jobs, perhaps our health, perhaps our future. But we come to a God of all power, the God of all grace, the God of all miracles, who can reach out and do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. Amen.